This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Him and Linnell have your draft show tonight after Nats baseball right here on 106.7. The Fan there going up to 1 a.m. East time. Beltway Blitz is going to cover the NFL with Mike Jones of The Athletic and the Commanders with our guy Johnny Cakes Auville of the Sports Junkies. But let's kick things off right now on the ice to get the Beltway Blitz going. The Caps up 2-0 in their best of 7 series with Montreal. Steve Wino of the Associated Press covers the Caps in the National Hockey League. Swino, how would you summarize these first 120-plus minutes of hockey?
Well, the Capitals are a better team than the Montreal Canadiens. I think that that's clear so far that Montreal in stretches the Canadiens have found ways, specifically in the third period, to sort of turn the tide on the Capitals. They were able to win game one thanks to Alex Ovechkin's overtime goal, win game two thanks to a handful of ridiculous saves from Logan Thompson. But you see sort of in the moments of this series that there's a reason why the Capitals are the top team in the East and the Canadiens are the eighth seed and the last team to get into the playoffs. That's sort of my takeaway so far. But also recognizing that given the Capitals have blew a lead in game one and fell behind and struggled and needed Logan Thompson to make big saves in game two, that it's a closer series than maybe a lot of people figured.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you about, Swanner. What about those parts? Because the majority of minutes, totally correct. Washington has been better in any way that you can measure it. And then they haven't been, and those have been enough for Montreal to almost win these couple of games.
Yeah, Danny, and almost is doing a lot of work there for the Capitals because they are up to show in the series, of course. But it's really a bizarre question because the Capitals were a really good third period team throughout the regular season, and it almost feels like the human nature element of having a lead and trying to hold on to it is what is sort of paralyzing the Capitals here late in games and sort of needing Logan Thompson to bail them out specifically in game two. Obviously, they took Pierre-Luc Dubois took a tripping penalty in game one that allowed the Canadiens to go on the power play and score and sort of get momentum. But that's one of the things I think Spencer Carberry and the coaching staff and the leadership group are most concerned about now is trying to figure out how to not lose that momentum and try to kind of handle the swings of that push from the Canadiens whenever it comes. Might be the first 10 minutes, might be the last 10 minutes in game three and moving forward.
Playing in Montreal is very difficult. They were one of the best home teams in the league in the second half of the season. On top of that, they now have last change and can get some better matchups for their top line. So take us inside some of the strategizing on why things will get a lot harder for Washington here moving forward.
Yeah, GP, and that's something that Spencer Carberry addressed this morning, and that it sure seems like if you're Martin St. Louis, Hall of Fame player, coach of the Canadiens, that he wants to get his top line of Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, and Juraj Slafkovský out there. Ideally, they would think against Alex Ovechkin, Dylan Strome, and Anthony Beauvillier, who are a very productive line offensively, but would struggle to defend against those guys. And Spencer Carberry is going to have to think about how much he wants to try to sort of manipulate the matchups as best he can, starting with the starting lineup of who he puts out there on the ice and sort of making Martin St. Louis decide who to start and that sort of chess game and cat and mouse game going on there. But it's definitely a concern because the Canadiens love to play those three guys along with Caden Gooley and Lane Hutson, who's probably the rookie of the year, together sort of as a five-man unit, and how much the Capitals are going to chase that matchup. But it's certainly going to be more difficult as the series shifts to Montreal.
Is there an adjustment they could make to kind of prevent those puckered last 10-plus minutes or so?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a physical adjustment they need to make in terms of lineup changes or sort of Spencer Carberry putting the lines in a blender or anything. I think it's more just a remembering to basically play as if you're losing or play as if the game, the score is tied and try to sort of force the issue. And Spencer Carberry talked about that again this morning too, that in game two, there were a lot of get in the offensive zone, take one shot and then go defend again, of trying to play almost a good road game of have the puck as much as possible in the offensive zone, because if you have it, the Canadians don't have it. And it's really hard to score when you don't have the puck. And I think that's one of the elements that the Capitals are going to focus on when it comes to video and those sort of things, of play like they played in the second period last night when they were sort of forcing the issue, tilting the ice towards Sam Montembeau and not sit back. It's easier said than done, obviously, but it's something the Capitals have done all year and are capable of doing.
When Alexei Protas comes back, which I'd love for you to give me a guess on when that could be, but let's just say to start the second round, hypothetically, if they got there, I'm not counting any chickens here, but who sits? Last night, Radish was incredible, and I would have told you going into the game, he's the easy answer, but man, was he good last night. Who's the odd man out?
You know what? There are a lot of options for that, and we were thinking the same thing before the game last night, that Radish probably would be the guy to come out, and I think ultimately he will be the first guy to come out. I think an interesting option that the Capitals have is moving Connor McMichael to the third line center and either bumping Lars Eller down or making Eller the healthy scratch. I think that's ultimately, if the Capitals see Connor McMichael as a capable third line center, and you throw Alexi Protas back on the top line with Alex Ovechkin and Dylan Strome, or you have some options to move guys around. But some combination.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I want to ask you about that because that's interesting.
Yeah.
I've been kind of hoping for that and saying that for a while, but my counterpoint in my own head is Lars has been really physical. He is good defensively. I mean, do they get a lot worse defensively if they do that?
That's a really good question, and that's maybe why GP that they would consider Eller moving down to the fourth line, and you maybe take out Andrew Mangiapane, but he was even good last night too, right? Like I would say it's a good problem to have, to know that you have to scratch one of these guys. I even think there's a chance at some point Ryan Leonard becomes the healthy scratch, but you're picking between Radish, Eller, Mangiapane, and maybe Ryan Leonard in that stretch of someone coming out of the lineup.
Swine up. Thank you, buddy. Enjoy Friday.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you, my friend. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. Our pal Mike Jones of The Athletic joins us to discuss the National Football League. Big night tonight in Green Bay. Are there any blockbuster trades coming here? I'm not even talking about just for draft picks, but like Trey Hendrickson on the move or something crazy like that. Do you expect any fireworks tonight, Mike?
I definitely think that we're going to see a number of teams moving around. There is not a lot of real, like, stone cold franchise changers. When you think of like quarterback, or you know, maybe there's, you know, a couple real impact pass rushers, but I think there's going to be teams who are like, okay, you know what, we see somebody's going to be matched kind of similarly, that we've got graded out, that we can move back and still get somebody to help us. So I think we're going to see a number of trades. Will those trades include some veteran guys? I don't know. It's not something that we normally see a lot of, but again, it kind of depends on how the draft shakes out. If, say, somebody misses out on a quarterback, maybe they will give the Falcons a call and say, like, hey, what is it going to take to get Kirk Cousins? Because we missed out on our guy, and maybe we'll see some trades moving that way. But it's really hard to say.
Shedeur Sanders, another report, Aditi Kinkumbala from NFL Network is now saying that she's heard from a source. She does not think he's going to go in the second round. What do you make of that? Excuse me, he's not going to go in the first round. He's going to fall into the second round.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on who you talk to. I have heard from people who say that he is basically Jordan Love and is, you know, a top 10 pick, and people saying, he might slide out of the first round. I know some people who think that his persona and everything, that, you know, kind of rubs some people the wrong way. But I've only talked to one person that adamantly disliked him. But again, I kind of consider the source, and from what I know about the person, I kind of understand and kind of take it with a grain of salt. I think that we're going to see him go in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised if he does slide out of the top 10, but then somebody trades back into the first round. Like, say the Giants pass on him at number 3, maybe they jump back up and trade for and get him in the 20s, or if the Steelers don't take him before that happens.
What's going on with Jacksonville? Like every time you hear about them, it's like there's this one guy that would make a lot of sense, Graham, the defensive tackle, and then Adam Schefter's like, yeah, they're probably not taking that dude. I mean, who knows who they pick and who they don't, but were they not doing visits? They're just like marching to the beat of their own drum, and like seems like they have one foot in London already. Like, what's going on there?
Well, they've got a 34-year-old guy as their GM and a 30-something-year-old head coach. They've got a team president, Tony Boselli, who has never done this before. They don't have a lot of experience in those key positions and decision makers. So it sounds a little all over the place, but maybe this is the chaos that they wanted to sow to try to throw people off the scent, and they're gonna know what they're doing.
Mike Jones, check out his work in The Athletic. All right, give us a prediction on something that you feel good about happening tonight, a team and a player that you think make a lot of sense.
I think that Shedeur Sanders goes in the first round. I just don't buy this falling out. I asked a number of guys, hey, tell me something that you think might happen that people aren't expecting. And I had multiple talent evaluators say 4 first-round draft pick quarterbacks.
Four.
And they said, look, it could be a surprise. It might not happen, but if this thing gets crazy tonight, there could be some teams that get desperate and they panic. And the 4 guys will go off the board. And that is not something that we thought of, but multiple guys told me that from different teams. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm looking out for that.
Jones, are you sure you weren't talking to an evaluator while they were golfing? And right after they swung, they yelled 4?
Again, if it had been one guy, I would be like, but multiple guys said, hey, this could happen.
Wow. That's crazy. Thank you. That's a good nugget. We'll be on the lookout.
We'll see.
All right, The Athletic. Go
appreciate
read his work. That's Mike Jones, our good buddy. Long time covering D.C. football and the NFL. Let's keep the blitz moving. Commanders pick 29. As a reminder, MGM National Harbor tonight.
You and me, pal.
Tap Sports Bar. We will be there with listeners watching the pick get made. Johnny Cakes Allville of the Sports Junkies. Danny and I just did this, so I want to do the exercise with you.
Let's do it.
Player you'd love them taking at 29, player yep. you'd like them taking at 29, player okay. you'd hate them taking at 29. I need answers to all 3 of those questions among the realistic options.
I have answers to all 3. Player I would love to see at 29, he runs a 40 a little bit faster than the 3 of us would. Is 4.29 fast to run a 40-yard dash? I'm pretty sure it is. His name is Matthew Golden, and he would line up outside of Terry McLaurin on the other side as the number 2 wide receiver, and he would catch 60-yard touchdowns from Jaden Daniels.
Steve.
That's my love. Okay, that's my love pick, especially at 29. My like pick is a guy who had 16.5 sacks last year at Boston College. His name is Donovan Ezeraku. Okay, I need pass rush. I need sacks, because your top sack guy walked out the door, and he's putting on Danny's least favorite helmet of all time. It's the one with the big star on the side.
A big dumb star.
To a division opponent. Okay, so he hates that. Player I would least like to see picked, the pick I would hate, I'm sorry, I hate to discriminate, any sort of big, fat, interior offensive lineman. Look, I know it's a necessary evil. You need to protect your stud quarterback in Jaden Daniels. But I'm sorry, that pick just doesn't work me into a lather over here. So there's my love, like, hate.
Flakesy, last year they made a big deal about, like, is this guy a team captain? That he could play for us. Like, that was, like, sort of the deal. And I get that. You're trying to build a culture in the wake of whatever it was Rivera and the Marty Party were doing. When do you think they'll be able to kind of be risky and when it comes to that? Again, I always hate just sort of naming guys with quote-unquote character concerns like it's a big umbrella, but just bear with me. When can they find their John Riggins or find their Jumpy Gethers or go after somebody that may be a little dicier, a little more boom or bust, especially picking at the end of the first round? Do you get the sense they might venture off, or are they just going to stick to the script here of, like, only team captains, 4-year leaders, date your daughter kind of guys?
I mean, we might know that by 11:30 tonight. Like, if they turn in the card, it's Jane Pierce Jr. Mm-hmm. out of Tennessee, who's, you know, like, one of his high school teammates said he's the craziest person he's ever been around. Like, that's kind of a red flag to me. And he's had some off-the-field issues. But, like, if that's the pick, then you know that Adam Peters has kind of turned the corner on finding, you know, the choir boys and the guys who are straight A students. Like, it's good to have some of those guys, mm-hmm. but like, if you look around the NFL, you got to also have some guys who are have a little bit of an edge to them, as far as, you know, the way they approach football, especially. So maybe it happens as soon as tonight, because I think they've got enough leaders and vets in that room where if there is a questionable guy that they really love his football profile, like, if they get him in a room with Bobby Wagner and Ertz and Eckler and guys like that, that they feel like those guys can kind of police him and kind of help him navigate through at least the first couple years of his time in the NFL.
Cakesy, were you in the barn for the Caps and the Canadians last night?
I was in the barn for game one. And
how fun was it?
It was great. It was so great. And Grant, I have to laud you for all of the up close and personal shots of Jaden Daniels and Sam Hartman chugging beers, because you're a guy that just sits down near the glass all the time. And
good use of those things.
Not all the time.
All the time, Cakes.
A blind squirrel occasionally finds a nut. Do not fall for their propaganda.
Danny, every time I see hockey hipster jersey Jeeps, the guy is like, can reach out and just touch the glass.
Don't run a DNA test on that glass. It'll come back pulsing.
Yeah. And by the way, I have to mention this. There's definitely a black Caps Beck Malenstein jersey draped over one of the chairs in the studio.
We're looking at it now, yeah.
That has to be Grant Paulson's jersey, right?
You're right. That is my Beck Malenstein. I left it in the studio.
I mean, I love Beck Malenstein, but like,
do you?
The only person that has that jersey is Beck Malenstein, Beck Malenstein's mom and dad, and Grant Paulson, who's the ultimate sweater hipster.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah, five sold all time.
Hey, what jersey did I buy last night, Cakesy?
Ooh, hold on. Did you buy it? You bought it on the premises?
I bought it on site last night.
Get your bell ready.
Dad, get a buzzer ready.
I bet within three guesses.
Way, this was supposed to be the Beltway Blitz. This is going to take a little while.
Okay, three guesses. I think he gets it.
It's radio. We got nothing but time.
Here we go.
Is it a current play? Can I ask a few questions here?
Sure.
Guy on the current roster?
It is.
Huh.
I will say member of the 2024-2025 Washington Capitals.
All right. Is he Canadian?
No.
Is he Russian?
No.
Not Russian, okay?
I think it's time for some guesses.
Okay. Last year I would have said Protus, but he's too silly
he's too
to
good.
Be
he's
like
too good.
Hipster. Like, his numbers are too good, so I'm going to eliminate him. It can't be Mikey. He's had too much of a breakout campaign. Let's see. Who's a real hipster that you would get? Not Chucky Lindgren. You probably already have that one. Let's see here. Who's a guy down the roster? Not Ryan Leonard. Too much of a ballyhooed prospect.
Cakes is right. I mean,
he's eliminating, but he's not guessing. You notice that?
But he is on point right now.
He's going down the line.
Cakes, everything he's saying is literally my thought process when I bought a sweater last.
Let's see. Fairvari, I'm going to say no, especially because he's out for the rest of the playoffs. Like, it just would be weird if you bought his jersey now. So I'm going to strike him from the record. Man, you guys are got me in the blender here.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah, I'd love a hint.
Think fourth line.
Yeah, I mean, you knew that going in, though.
Fourth line Jeeps. Okay, not Doubter. You would have had Doubters already. Or you might already have it in your closet. I mean, let's see. Did you? Oh, I have a guess.
What do you got, Cakesy?
You got a Lars Eller sweater.
Oh.
I didn't. I'm looking for I'm looking for a Doggy Duhame.
Oh, Doggy. That's a great guy.
That's why we're doing dog noises there.
Who doesn't love Doggy eating the lineup card after getting the boys fired up in the locker room?
I always wanted a Doggy Duhame, but when I saw him eat the lineup card, I got in line.
You fork over the
coin. It just had to happen.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I have to ask, like, did you have the special print Doggy instead of Duhame?
I thought about it, actually. That actually did cross my mind. But no, I already had to get them to print it, so it was a little extra, because they didn't have it listed on their roster of available jerseys, which is unacceptable. But I digress.
Supply and demand there, my friend.
Yeah, so Duhame 22 is now the sweater.
Very good. I shudder to think at how much coin you've dropped on hipster hockey sweaters over the years. But hey, everybody's got to have their own thing.
So it's I generally do one per year, so it's not too bad. But what's funny is my mom called me last night leaving the game. She's like, "How fun was that?" I said, "I just got a new sweater." She said, "Please tell me you got an Ovechkin." And I'm like, "You don't even know me."
Oh, my God.
And she's like, "Well, yeah. you always get these stupid jerseys, and the players leave right away, and then you don't wear them anymore." And she's like, "I have a guy named Stevenson in my closet right now." Silly Chandler Stevenson sweater.
Did he score against the Penguins? Yeah.
He was a part of the 18 Cup yes. run. So I got the Beck Malenstein in studio.
I need to see this whole collection of hipster hockey sweaters at some point.
My best sweater, Steve Alexi. Silly.
I mean, I barely recognize that name.
You could change the name on the back to Healthy Scratch.
He was a, yeah. That's a deep cut.
Yeah, DNP. This should be the name
Coach's
on the
Coach's decision.
The deeper the cut, the better. It's like, someone who gives stitches. Cakesy, we appreciate you, and let's get a win in game three, huh?
All right, boys, let's get Matthew Golden on the roster. Let's go. Let's make this thing happen.
Big night. Will you be awake for the pick, do you think?
11:30-ish p.m.?
Yeah.
I could still be awake at that point.
But
there's
you're
going to
be so mad if they trade back and you stood up all night.
Oh, if they trade back and don't pick tonight, I'm going to call out Adam Peters tomorrow. I'm just going to say I have Adam Peters-itis and I can't make it into the show at 4:45 in the morning.
Cakes goes full, and then I took that personally. All right, brother, good catching up.
See you, dude.
All right, boys, later.
Beltway Blitz, Cakes Allville, Sports Junkies, listen to them from 6 to 10. Here on The Fan, all of our Caps playoff coverage brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For over 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. We are at MGM National Harbor tonight.
Tonight, my friend.
We're going to be watching the draft, so come on out and watch the 29th overall pick with us at TAP. Sports Bar, really, really cool spot with a bunch of huge TVs. And then tomorrow, we're at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly.
Your boys are busy. We've been out and about all the live long week, and it continues tonight and then into tomorrow.
Love me, Pupatella. That's the Neapolitan pizza.
So good.
Oh, tomorrow's lunch can't come soon enough.
Seriously.
I'll just say that.
I've actually been thinking about it for a couple of days.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. You were a GM earlier. You made your pick at 29. I get to play general manager next. Yeah. I will make my pick at 29. The pick's not in yet because I got to see if the phone rings. That's next on The Fan. In 30 minutes, Dane Brugler, who is the lead NFL draft analyst at The Athletic, the purveyor of the beast that he puts out every single year, an amazing compilation of information, insight on every single draft prospect who could go in the process over the next 3 days. So we'll talk to Dane coming up in 1.5 hour. Danny, I think it's my turn to play general manager, though.
Let's do it, my friend. Here we go. All right. Now, full spoiler alert, I have really struggled to do this well over the last couple of years, okay? You heard earlier when it was my turn to play GM, I couldn't keep the picks straight of like what the offers were. I didn't write it down fast enough, and then I kind of forgot. I told one GM that I wanted to make his deal, but then realized it wasn't as good as the first one, so I had to lie to a general manager. The whole thing was a mess. I ended up with a corner and a defensive end, though. So it worked out, kind of, but I pissed some people off in the process. It's kind of like when Washington let that player go to Buffalo and then said, wait, never mind, and then they went and got him back, and now the Bills won't deal with Washington.
Do you remember who the player was?
It was a running back. That wasn't Chris Thompson. Oh, who was it?
J.D. McKissick.
McKissick!
Yeah.
I couldn't pull it.
Okay, so,
yep.
But in addition to screwing that up earlier today,
yeah.
I think what you were trying to get to is you have a 2-year streak going
yes.
of screwing up this very element of this exercise.
Whatever this is, I don't do this well for some reason. So there's a great chance I mess it up, and that's entertaining too, I guess.
But I've guided you through the simulation and how to do it. It seems very simple, you said. So
yeah.
I think we're ready to go. You are going to now lead me through, as the general manager, the possibilities for the Commanders at 29. So we're going to use the Pro Football Network draft simulation.
Grant Paulson, you are on the clock and the phone. She's a-ringing.
Hello, this is Adam Peters of the Washington Commanders.
I'm not sure what this guy sounds like, so I'm doing generic football guy. Mickey Loomis here, overmatched general manager, New Orleans Saints. We're struggling. We're in a terrible way. I want pick 29. I'm going to offer you pick 40 and pick 93. Pick 40, pick 93.
Okay, I'll get back to you. I think I was told I had a couple more phone calls coming in.
You do have more phone calls.
I'll call you right back, Mickey. Hey, this is Adam Peters at the Commanders.
Hey, how's it going? John Schneider, Seattle. Should have been a Washington GM, but they didn't appreciate me when I was there.
Yeah, I'm sitting in your old seat here in the war room.
Yeah, hope you're doing well. I've had a good run of success out here. We're building something else new. I want pick 29. Give me pick 29, pick 245. Here's what I got for you. Pick 50, pick 52.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to call you back because I like the possibilities of taking that. I got to answer one more call. Just give me 1 minute. Stay by your phone, bud.
Yep, phone's ringing, dude.
All right. I just dropped something. Let me go pick it up. Hold on. Dan, will you answer that? Yeah, let me turn my hat around backwards first. Everyone knows I'm cool. Hey, this is Dan Quinn here.
Oh, Dan, I was hoping for Adam Peters, the decision maker.
Yeah. I'm going to get him in a second. He was busy doing something, so I just turned my hat around backwards.
Oh, okay. This is high-quality general manager Brad Holmes here.
Oh, one of the best in the business. Hold on. Hey, it's Lance. What's up, buddy? We made great music together in
Detroit. Dude, what's up, bro? What's up? How you doing, man?
Well, you seen the Caps, man? I love the Caps.
Oh, I know I have.
They're winning. Yeah.
Red Wings aren't, though.
Adam's right here.
Anyway.
Hello, it's Adam Peters.
Hey, Adam. Serious voice. Brad Holmes here. Pick 29 sounds good to us. Here's what I'd like to offer you. Pick 60. Pick 102. A 2026 second rounder. And our 2026 third rounder, Grant.
Ooh.
I mean, Adam.
That's juicy. And I got to tell you, that's the best offer I got over a two-year sample. But unfortunately, we just got to the NFC Championship game last year, and we're trying to get back this year. So I got work to do on the roster for this football season. So respectfully, Brad will call you back another time, but we got business to tend to. Can we please go get the Seahawks and John Schneider back on the phone? We are accepting picks 50 and 52 from Seattle for 29 and 245.
Very well, I will file it with the league. That offer has been accepted. Now, see, I messed it up somehow. I accepted the offer, and it filled out the entire draft. I don't understand. This will never work out right. The streak continues.
I want you to know something.
I accepted the offer. I did the thing you told me to do, and it went away.
I showed you everything.
You didn't show me this part.
Guy, you only did one round, probably.
I did not.
Yes, you had to have. If it filled out the rest of the first round, then you didn't do the two rounds.
I must not have done the two
Danny,
rounds.
Danny, I want you to know something. I don't mean what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I hate you.
This is three straight years.
Why do you? Oh, I just want to play
this
GM.
I literally called
Darius over. I'm going to tell everyone what happened.
Go ahead, Tom.
I called Darius over, and I went through everything with Darius. He's like, yeah, it's no problem. And then Danny was kind of looking over like a little, like, beady-eyed little...
No, it was fine.
Like, you know, animal in a cage or something. And I could tell he was like, well, why the hell is he getting Darius to do this? And I'm like, do you want to do it? He's like, yeah, I can do it. I've already got it up right here. So we go
I had it up.
Dry run. I said, Danny, you ruined this two straight years. I literally said that to you. It was not a nice thing.
Make it three. Make it three. This is actually incredible.
I mean, this is incredible. This is... for you, maybe. Guy, I literally made a note... Because I have an email for like draft prep stuff.
Yep.
And it's our annual stuff that we do, like it, love it, hate it, whatever.
So I restarted it. We can do it now.
The note I made from last year was let Darius lead you through the process. That's the note I made last year.
Listen, if you hurry up and get your attacking me correctly, by the way, over with, we can do it right now. But without all the dramatics of the phone calls.
Darius.
I got it. I have a multi-round thing.
The dramatics of the phone calls are the whole fun of the thing.
It's not. Making the picks. We just make the picks. I've got it for you. You can reject these offers or keep them.
Darius.
Without all the sound effects.
What do we think?
I mean, this is amazing.
Let me just redeem it. I can do it.
Was any part of what I just said exaggerated?
No, it's all right.
This is all factual information, and I am absolutely amazed.
Well, okay. Number one, Darius has never seen draft day. So number two,
he's
piling on. I'm admitting that I'm wrong here. I'm the bad guy here.
Okay, so what do you got for me?
I have one trade offer.
Okay, phone's ringing.
We're going to do the full phone. Okay. Takes so much longer. 49ers. It's really Kyle Shanahan, but it's like, you know, an emissary.
John Lynch.
Yeah. I suppose it's John Lynch. Pick 43 and a 2026 second rounder.
Okay. Do I have any other calls?
Yep.
Okay. Hello, Adam Peters.
Chris Greer, Miami Dolphins. Pick 29 from you, 128 from you. You could pick 48, 98, a 26 second, and our 26 third.
Ooh, sexy. And what else we got over there?
Let me see. I got another one for you.
Another offer?
Yeah. Phone's ringing again.
Okay. Hello, this is Adam Peters.
Omar Khan, Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's do this one much simpler.
By the way, Danny's killing it right now. Yeah. He's locked in.
Pick 29. From you. Pick 83, our 2026 first and our 2026 third.
A 26 first for a team that's going to go.
Listen, I'm not saying it's a good offer. I'm saying I'm making it, though.
I'm not doing that. I should, by the way, just because it's a bad segment if I don't get to make any picks. But that's the best offer, and Adam Peters should take it. But I'm Grant Peters, so I'm not going to take it. I will accept the offer from the Miami Dolphins, where I'll get the 48th pick, the 98th pick, and then next year's 2 and 3. I just added two draft picks for next year.
Okay, so I did a 2-round mock here. Yeah. I pushed the right button. So if I hit accept, it's not going to skip through to the end?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm going to hit accept.
You're fine.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Here we go. I accept it. The draft isn't over. You're on the clock at 48, and wouldn't you know the dumb phone's ringing again?
Good.
I don't really want to. I just want you to make a selection.
This is Adam Peters.
Cincinnati Bengals, Duke Tobin, figurehead GM.
Yeah. How you doing?
Fine. Not great, to be honest with you. I got no budget. 48-205 from you. I'm giving you pick 49, moving up one spot, and a 2026 third.
Of course, yeah, 100%.
You're going to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you not want to hear the other offer?
Nah. Yeah, let's do the other offer. Hey, it's Adam Peters.
Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm James Gladstone. I don't know what it sounds like. James Gladstone.
He sounds like a nerdy 30.
Well, I'm bloviating a little bit because I don't really belong in the seat that I'm in. 48 and 245.
What 30-year-old sounds like
this? A guy who interviews well and wows you with his enthusiasm. 48 and 245 from you. 70 going your way and a 2026 Jacksonville Jaguars second. Shout out to your friend Joey, who's a big Jaguars fan.
No, I'll go down one pick and get the 26th third.
All right, here we go. It's Duke Tobin's pick, and yeah. I'm going to accept Bengals. It for you. Went down one. Oh, my God. Another.
The phone's ringing.
Come on.
Moving and shaking, baby. Hey, it's Adam Peters.
Hey, John Lynch again, man. I'm lucky to have Kyle. Pick 49 from you. Pick 245 from you. I'm giving you pick 75 and our second rounder.
No, next year.
Next year. That's going to take you out of the second round, so the draft will be over, yeah, by the way.
Can't do it.
Thank you. All right. Phone again.
Phone's ringing. Phone's ringing. Look alive, Danny. Phone's ringing. Hey, it's Adam Peters.
How's it going? Joe Ortiz, LA Chargers.
Hey, what's up?
It's cool, bro. 49 from you, 245 from you. We're going to give you pick 55 and pick 86, bro.
Yeah, definitely taking that.
All right, you're accepting.
Absolutely.
It's calling the league
I'm
and accept
stockpiling it. Stockpiling picks right now.
Oh, my God.
Steam.
The trades.
Hey, it's
we're
Adam Peters.
We're out of time. We got to go to Pupitel in 2 minutes.
Hey, right. It's Adam Peters.
Oh, hey. Les Snead, Rams.
Hey, Les, what's up?
Pick 55.
Yeah.
Your next year's seventh for this year's pick 90 and a 2026 second.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, so you're out of the second round then. So you're not making any picks.
How many spots am I moving back?
35.
Oh, no, I thought it was.
To pick 90?
No, I'm not doing that. Sorry.
All right, so let's reject that one. And, ooh, this is an enticing phone call. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Hello, it's Adam Peters.
Andrew Berry from Cleveland.
Yeah.
I'm a little shell-shocked because everything sucks over here right now, bro. you give us 55, we'll give you 67, and next year's third.
No, I got to make a pick, I think.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Will you just make your selection?
All right.
Here's who's available.
BPA.
Jackson Dart, still on the board.
Don't want him.
Oh, you're going to be so steamed. I'm annoyed about this.
Yeah.
Travion Henderson.
Boom. That's the pick. Let's go.
Oh, yuck.
Grant Peters, the pick.
Oh, the worst thing ever.
The pick is in. I got my running back. I wouldn't have mind taking it 29. And I just picked up ammunition.
And you're getting him at 55.
That is how you put on a clinic, kids. That's how you run a draft room.
You're still on the clock, bro. Pick 61.
Good.
You got to make another one.
Who's the best available?
Giants are calling with an offer. It's actually a pretty good one.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, soon to be fired, Joe Shane, how are you? Pick 61, that's right now. Pick 65 and pick 99. That's
we'll take it.
All right, you're out of the second round then. That's the end, right?
That's fine.
Okay, so we're accepting that. And that's it. You got Trey Henderson, Travion Henderson, 2026 Miami second, a 2026 Cincinnati third.
Let's go.
And a 2026 Miami third.
I'm loaded next year. I'm about to make six picks in round three. That's how you draft.
This is my least favorite possible outcome.
That's how you draft.
No picks on Thursday, while running back on Friday, and next year's picks.
That was a bleep you, Danny Ruiz.
Oh,
draft.
Throw up in my
that
mouth.
That is how you draft.
You know what? I deserve it for fouling up the thing beforehand.
Dane
I added
Brugler
5 minutes.
Of The Athletic joins us in 15 minutes. Despite a couple of shaky third periods, the Caps have a 2-0 series lead over the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow. Ahead of Caps Game 3, we will be out and about at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. You can join us live from Pupatella. They're going to have happy hour specials running all show long. Pupatella Pizza serving the real MVP of flavor with authentic, delicious, hat-trick-worthy Neapolitan pizzas. We'll see you in Chantilly from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow. Ahead of Dane Brugler of The Athletic, their lead NFL draft analyst, on this, the day of the first round of the NFL draft. He joins us at 5. Jay Gruden stopping by at 6, so the draft convo will continue. Let's do a little Caps stock report. Two games over 120 minutes of hockey down at this point in this series. The locals have the 2-0 series lead as we shift now to Montreal for a pair of games. So stock up, stock down, Danny. Your Caps stock report.
Give me a stock up, please. Connor McMichael, pots two last night, had a couple great scoring chances in game one as well. I thought defensively he was actually really, really good. In addition, so playing that full 200-foot game, forechecking pretty well. I thought he was good on the penalty kill at certain points. Helpful in the defensive zone, too.
Logan Thompson came back from injury and immediately picked up where he was for the majority of the first half of the season when he was the number two goaltender in hockey behind Connor Hellebuck. 147 goals against average, 951 save percentage. He has made 58 stops on 61 shots at this point. Logan Thompson absolutely saved their bacon in the third period last night. Three or four acrobatic saves, two 10-bellers, just unbelievable in the final several minutes.
Anthony Beauvillier. You know, a guy that was probably a third liner on a pretty good team a couple different places. He's been sort of stuck, maybe miscast, but wouldn't look like it on the top line. He has been a pest in the best possible way. He has been active, getting below the net on a couple offensive chances to whether it's, you know, dig pucks out, create scoring opportunities, has put shots on goal himself, has 3 points in the series. He's been excellent.
Little Kid Leno, Ryan Leonard at 20 years old, the youngest Capitals player to record a postseason point since Andrei Burakovsky as a 20-year-old back in 2015. Little Kid Leno's got 1 point in the two games, a plus one, but I don't think that tells the story. I think maybe his two best games in the NHL have come in these playoffs. He's been active. He's been fast. The skating and the physicality is on display. The comps were always Oshie. Right. And I don't know if that's good or fair or whatever, but I saw it last night, like in terms of for a little guy, and he's really not small, but he's certainly not a thumper in terms of size. He's not 6'3", 6'4". He's listed 6 foot and about 192. He throws his body around. He made some huge hits in this series already. I love the way Leonard's playing.
Dylan Strome leads the team in points, scored one last night, has 3 assists over the course of the series, has been a plus player over the course of these couple of games, has been very solid, if unspectacular. Honestly, at this point, there's a lot of Nick Backstrom to his game. Maybe not as good defensively as back he was in his heyday, but that calm, looking for others, head always up, always in the right place, always making a good, sound decision with the puck. Dylan Strome has been a nice anchor.
I'll go with the guy who is right now number three on the team in shots, and that's Alex Ovechkin. He had two goals, including the game winner in game one, as part of a three-point first two games here in this series for Ovi. He's got six shots. Only Anthony Bevilier and Connor McMichael, two guys you've already given stock up to, are ahead of him on that list. Ovi, remember, did not have a point in four games against the Rangers in a sweep at the hands of New York in the postseason last year. Already two more goals, three more points, already more shots on net in this series. He's been outstanding.
Not much to show on the scoreboard for this young man, but I think Rasmus Sandin has been really good, really effective. Not a tremendous hulking gentleman who's knocking people around, but skates so well, moves the puck, is kind of filling the void a little bit without Martin Ferravari. I think he's been really, really impressive through a couple games. He's going to have to be. Montreal's going to keep putting pressure on, and you got to make those good, quick, swift decisions, tape-to-tape passes, and he's been good.
I don't know that anybody's played badly, but I'm going to go with Lars Eller down in that it's only two shots on goal. He just doesn't seem to be able to finish offensively right now. You look at the regular season and some of the opportunities that he couldn't pot that weren't goals. He has been physical, had a couple of really good shifts in game one, but by and large, I just think you could get a little bit more, certainly offensively. I wonder if his play on the defensive end of the ice keeps him in the lineup here when Protas comes back rather than moving McMichael over. But he's 35 years old. He was a cup hero in 18. But Lars Eller, they need more out of him.
Again, not a huge impact in terms of time on ice or statistically, but you're worried. Without Martin Ferravari, how is Alex Alexiev going to handle everything? The answer is just fine. Again, he's going to get third defensive pairing minutes and averaging just under 15 minutes per game on ice. But the point is, do you get exposed when he's out there? The answer has been no. You get away with having him out there, and he's been just fine and dandy.
There you go. Your Caps stock report is they took a 2-0 series lead last night. They are idle, resting today after traveling to Montreal, and they will be back in action tomorrow night, puck drop in the 7 o'clock hour from the Bell Center. All of our Caps playoff coverage is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For 25 years, Ace Trim has been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry and handle everything from supply to installation. It's turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. Draft night tonight, Dane Brugler of The Athletic has some answers on what could go down next on G&D.